spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Gandhi, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was adapted from the book Great Soul by Harriman Maurer. This program is in observance of Brotherhood Week. Featured as Gandhi is Leon Janney.
Lighted by truth, fed by it, kept alive by it, but yet ignorant of it, there came a man who sought truth, felt it, and declared it. His name was Mohandas Gandhi.
Truth is of God, and it is God. It is that which all men see in part without any seeing fully, which all seek without any knowing fully why they seek it.
In a world where the strong hurt the weak, this man fought back with truth. He put himself last, hence he found himself first. He wished to be humble, hence he became great. He had the strength of water, which as it seeks a low place, wears away rock and soil and cannot be stopped. But they didn't know that, and so they tried to stop him.
Mohandas Gandhi, is there something you wish to say before I pronounce the sentence of this court?
What is my crime, Your Honor?
We hold you guilty of promoting disaffection.
I admit my guilt, but I hold it to be a virtue to be disaffected toward a government which in its totality has done more harm to India than any previous system.
Mohandas Gandhi, it is my duty to sentence you to 6 years' imprisonment.
They were foolish men. Can you put into darkness that which shines even where there is no light? He lay there in Yerravda prison, sick, shadowed by a wall, separated from his people. And yet all India felt his presence. And so his jailer, being unable to confine his spirit, released his frail, scrawny body. It was 20 years ago. And in India there were tens of millions of men and women who were neither of the high caste, nor the middle caste, nor even of the lower caste. These were the millions of outcasts who were declared untouchable and doomed from the moment of birth to the moment of death by the inflexible stamp of untouchability and no hope of release and little hope of rebellion. Yet there was one hope. From all over India, the untouchables sought out Gandhi.
Madam, can you tell me, please, is this the road to the Mahatma?
Keep away! Keep your distance.
I keep my distance. Is this the road?
Keep your distance, untouchable one. Panchama.
I have walked across India to see him. I keep my distance. Where will I find him?
In the field there is a house of mud, the color of saffron. In the house you will find Mahatma Gandhi. But he will not see you. You are untouchable.
Then you do not know him. Because you call me untouchable, therefore he will see me.
Is there someone here to see me?
Yes, Mr. Gandhi, but he will come tomorrow when you have had another day of rest.
Who is he?
My name is Rama.
Come closer.
I have come a great distance.
For what purpose, Rama?
I hardly know. I come from a city in the south, a place called Vikam. I am untouchable.
Rama, what is your occupation?
I am a cleaner of roads.
And when you have cleaned the road, are you permitted to walk upon it?
I am not permitted. I am untouchable.
Are you permitted to enter the house of worship?
It is forbidden. I am untouchable.
Rama, do you have a wife?
Yes. She is 6 months with child. Perhaps that is why I came. Better my child should be born dead than to be born untouchable. To be degraded as I am degraded. Mr. Gandhi, come with me to Vikram. We need you there.
I have just been released from prison.
In 3 months, my son will be born into his prison.
I have been ill. There is no strength left.
We need you, Mr. Gandhi.
I will come when I am well.
We need you now.
I have my own need now. My need is to rest, to find my strength.
You have turned us away.
You dare not say that. You must have been told that I am sick.
I was told something else. A man said to me, Mahatma Gandhi is not one to love 10,000 people 10,000 miles away. He loves his neighbor.
Wait here for 2 days. After 2 days, I will go with you to Vikram.
Mr. Gandhi.
Colonel, this is an unexpected pleasure. It had not occurred to me that I would be met in Vikram by one of His Majesty's officials.
Mr. Gandhi, is there some place where we could withdraw for a moment?
I am sure there must be, Colonel, but why withdraw?
I have a matter to discuss with you, a matter of some importance.
Yes?
I should prefer a more private place than a railroad station.
I am very comfortable here. You have something to tell me?
Mr. Gandhi, you are not wanted in Vikram.
I am not, Colonel.
No. I regret to inform you that your presence here in Vikram is deeply resented.
By whom?
By the better classes.
The richer classes?
The same thing, Mr. Gandhi.
No, Colonel, but we shan't enter into debate. I am rather tired.
Forgive me. I shall call on you another time.
Do so, Colonel.
Thank you. Or perhaps Mr. Sadhu will call. He's a rather important figure in this community. Yes, I think you may expect a call from Mr. Sadhu.
Rama, that will be our friend, Mr. Sadhu.
Then I shall go.
On the contrary, Rama, you must stay. Kindly open the door for Mr. Sadhu.
Very well. I will not mind to go away.
But I will mind, Rama. Let Mr. Sadhu in. Will you please come in, sir? I have been expecting you.
I cannot enter this room.
Why not, sir?
That creature by your side.
You mean this man?
He is Panchama, untouchable.
His name is Rama. You two should know one another. He cleans your finest highway.
Mr. Gandhi, if you came to my house, I would not insult you.
Mr. Sadhu, you have come to what is my house. Why do you insult my friend?
Must you be reminded that you are a Hindu? He is untouchable.
If untouchability is a necessary part of Hinduism, I am not a Hindu. What do you want with me, Mr. Sadhu?
Send that man away and I will tell you.
Rama stays with me.
Very well. Mr. Gandhi, you are a visitor here. I must remember to be hospitable. I come to you with a gift of hospitality from the better caste of Vikram.
What kind of a gift, Mr. Sadhu?
A gift of rubies and pearls.
See, Rama, they worry about you. They worry enough to wish to bribe me.
My dear Mr. Gandhi, this is insupportable.
Is it, Mr. Sadhu? Then give your rubies and your pearls to my friend Rama. There are men and women in India who need bread. You and I have no right to anything until the millions of India are fed and clothed.
I will not be harangued by a vile demagogue.
Then go away, Mr. Sadhu. I do not keep you.
Mr. Gandhi, I've come to warn you.
Then warn me and go away.
Have no fear, Mr. Gandhi. Custom is custom, and no one like you will set custom aside. The custom of untouchability remains.
No, Mr. Sadhu.
I say it remains.
No, Mr. Sadhu. Tomorrow, my friend Rama will walk on the public highway.
I warn him not to do so.
Thank you. Tomorrow, my friend Rama the Untouchable will walk on a public highway of India. You may tell that to your friends, Mr. Sadhu. Put down your sticks. There will be no fighting.
Mr. Gandhi, we must fight back.
No?
I am a woman like other women. I may not dress as other women do. I may not enter the house of worship with them. I have no privilege except pain and suffering. It was so for my mother and my grandmother. Not for me. I fight.
Not with sticks, not with clubs, not with your fists.
Mahatma Gandhi, what other way is there?
No force, no violence. We shall fight evil with the power of truth. No other way.
But if we go upon the highway, Mr. Gandhi, if we even show ourselves...
Yes, Rama?
They will come with their police.
Let them come, Rama.
And not resist.
And not resist.
They will strike with their clubs.
Accept their blows.
Mr. Gandhi, we are human beings. Who receives a blow must return a blow.
We are fighting for the truth that all men are brothers. All men. Relatives and strangers, countrymen and foreigners, white and colored, Hindus, Muslims, Parsis, Christians, Jews. For this truth you dare not shed blood. I propose that you disobey the regulations which degrade you and pronounce you untouchable. I ask you to violate those laws deliberately, but not with hate in your hearts.
What shall we do?
Tomorrow you shall go upon the public highway. Whatever the consequence of your going, you will not raise your hand. You will not protect yourself against the club. You will resist only with the great truth that you are human and capable of love. I will go with you tomorrow.
I warn you that every agitator will be summarily dealt with. The government will countenance no disorder. In the name of the government, I ask you all to return to your homes.
He is talking good sense. Go home.
I go home by means of the public highway.
For the last time, go home.
Mr. Sadhu, if you will step to one side, I wish to place my foot upon the public highway.
Mr. Gandhi, if this man...
Yes, Mr. Sadhu. Rama is a man.
If this untouchable sets foot on the highway, I shall strike him down.
He will not strike you back, Mr. Sadhu. Come, Rama. Let us both walk upon the highway.
Untouchable, where are you going?
Upon a public highway of the city of Vikom.
Go no further. This is as far as you go.
I shall go the entire length of...
You are a courageous man, Mr. Sadhu, to strike someone who will not strike you back. Now strike me.
Go back where you came from, Mr. Gandhi. Take your scum with you.
Rama, are you ready to walk further?
I am, Mr. Gandhi.
Then come. We walk.
Hit me again, Mr. Sadhu, because I take another step. Again, Mr. Sadhu, I take a fourth step.
Mr. Gandhi, he uses a club. Allow us to fight back.
We are fighting back. We fight without violence. Rama, my good friend, do you still have courage to fight with truth?
Yes, Mr. Gandhi, I will...
Rama!
Mr. Sadhu, you and the club in your hand have won a great victory. Someone... Help me with Rama. He is bleeding.
He has lost much blood, Mr. Gandhi.
Rama, can you hear me?
Yes. And I have a question, Mr. Gandhi. What is the good of submission?
I see no other way, Rama. Until now, the world has been governed by hatred. We shall try another way.
Oh, Mr. Gandhi, they come against us with clubs and sticks.
Therefore, love them. Real beauty consists in doing good against evil. You are untouchable, so they say. Now you must show them what you truly are.
Mr. Gandhi, my head throbs. I am afraid. Mr. Gandhi, what am I to do?
The public highway, Rama. You must go again tomorrow.
I am not a hero. The thought of pain makes me... Yes, I will go again.
We will all go, Rama.
But Ruhama, you are afraid too, are you not?
I am a coward.
Then why do you volunteer?
I would be ashamed not to.
Of all the human virtues, love and mercy and justice are the greatest. But I swear to you that without courage, there can be neither love nor mercy nor justice. Ruhama, if they beat you, will you run away?
I shall try not to.
And you will not raise your hand against them?
I shall try not to, Mr. Gandhi.
I insist, Ruhama. You are not to raise your hand.
Very well. I promise you I shall not raise my hand.
And you, Rama?
It will be hard, but I promise.
The rest of you, do you promise?
We promise, Mr. Gandhi.
Then I ask you to pray with me.
Let us all go to the temple.
No. Pray here in this room. God is not encased in a safe to be approached through a little hole bored through the heavy door. God is here and everywhere. He is open. He can be approached through millions of openings. Pray.
Lead us, Mr. Gandhi.
God of the universe, truth is in all men, making them one, and not in a few of them, making them separate. To do hurt to any man is to do hurt to oneself, for to injure him is to injure truth in him, and thus to hurt the whole world. God of the universe, bless us. We are frail and lustful and steeped in sin. But tomorrow we shall try to conquer evil, not by doing violence to others, but by taking violence upon ourselves. O God, give us courage.
I call upon this assembly to disperse and return to your homes. Mr. Gandhi, I order you to instruct this mob to refrain from any violation of the law.
What is the law, Mr. Sadhu?
You know the law. Mr. Gandhi, you may enter upon the public highway, but the untouchables with you are forbidden.
And if they choose to ignore the law because it is a wicked law and an immoral law?
They will be imprisoned.
Rama, will you answer Mr. Sadhu?
Mr. Sadhu, I am ready for imprisonment.
Do not be so ready. Your wife will be imprisoned.
She is ready for imprisonment.
Your brothers and sisters, your children.
They are ready for imprisonment.
Mr. Gandhi, you are gambling with the lives of all these people.
No, Mr. Sadhu. I am gambling that truth is active and alive in the world of men. The untouchables of the city of Wickham are gambling with truth.
Constable, are you ready?
I am, Mr. Sadhu.
Constable, I am untouchable. Look, I enter now upon the public road.
I place you under arrest. I place you under arrest. I place you under arrest.
People, do not push.
And you.
Be patient.
And you.
Await your turn and step forward on the highway. There is no need to push. You will all be arrested.
Come now, Gandhi, isn't this whole thing getting to be a little ridiculous?
In what way, Colonel?
Well, for one thing, well, it's ridiculous. Every untouchable in Wickham can't go and get himself arrested.
Why not, Colonel?
Because there aren't enough blooming prisons in all of India, that's why not.
May I suggest a simple solution?
Yes.
Don't arrest them, Colonel.
That's out of the question. Law is law.
As you please, continue arresting them.
Look here, Mr. Gandhi. They'll be arrested and they'll be flogged. Some of them may die. Now, what's the use of letting anything like that happen? What's the use, eh?
Colonel, what is the use of imprisoning men and women who are anxious to be imprisoned? What is the use of flogging a man who is ready to be flogged? What is the use of killing a man who is ready to die?
Gandhi, I don't know whether you're a hypocrite or a saint. My wager is that you're a hypocrite.
This happened in the city of Vicom 20 years ago. The untouchables of Vicom walked upon the highway and were imprisoned. Great numbers were imprisoned until there was no space left, whereupon new measures were taken.
Captain, you will station your police constables along the road. Barricade each entrance to the road.
And Gandhi answered in his own way.
I ask the untouchables to stand day and night in front of the police. Plead with them. Pray for them. Day and night.
Here now. How long can you beggars stay here?
For as long as you block the way to the public road.
Now you're all reasonable people. 6 months are a long time to stand. 6 whole months. 180 days. Now please go home.
Mr. Gandhi, I would like a little talk with you.
It was the triumph of Mohandas Gandhi, the triumph of nonviolence. For more than a year, the untouchables had stood and prayed. More than a year of days and nights, of hot sun and floods, of hunger and thirst. The condemned, the degraded, the untouchable.
All right, Mr. Gandhi. We cannot stand it any longer. Tell them that the highways are open to everyone.
Into a world lighted by truth, fed by it, kept alive by it, but yet ignorant of it, there came a man who sought truth and declared it. This man whom people called Mahatma, the great soul. In a world of oppression and killings, Gandhi lived truth. In a world where the strong hurt the weak, he fought back with truth. In a world where men boasted their goodness, he hid himself in truth. In a world where men are in bondage, he found freedom in truth. He so put his touch upon the people of India and the people of Britain that India became free. In the year 1948, an assassin brought out a pistol and fired 3 bullets into the frail body of a man named Gandhi. And Gandhi's hands came together in a gesture of greeting. And as he fell, he said softly, "Oh God, oh God."
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Dr. Ernest Cadman Caldwell, President of the University of Chicago and Chairman of the National Conference of Christians and Jews Brotherhood Week in Chicago. Speaking from Chicago, Dr. Caldwell.
The great religions of America share with Gandhi the belief that there are no outcasts. Protestants, Catholics, and Jews worship a God whose concern for man is not limited to any class, nor bounded by any frontier. Among the services which religion can render to this democracy of ours, none surpasses this: to fight prejudice and suspicion, and to support the sense of unity in our common membership in the fraternity of man. It is therefore appropriate, on a program devoted to Gandhi, to call attention to the celebration of the week of George Washington's birthday as Brotherhood Week, a program sponsored by the National Conference of Christians and Jews, to win the support of more and more Americans in its struggle against prejudices. Our prejudices weaken us in every aspect of our life. Prejudices are inefficient in production, for they kill teamwork. Prejudices arrest skills and talent, for they stop individual development. Prejudices destroy group morale, for they kill the spirit. In the last two decades, we have witnessed a nation which let a man mentally sick with prejudices organize followers without hindrance. Hitler's anti-Christianism and anti-Semitism destroyed the industrial life of both organized labor and management, the banks, the factories, and the farms, the laws, the religion, and the morality of a whole country. This week, the National Conference of Christians and Jews is asking Americans to enlist against prejudice. Its program is an engineering job in human relations. It hires research scientists to get more facts, teachers to guide more children and parents, writers of materials for churches and synagogues, program engineers and field workers for the civic organizations which 100 million Americans join, and social scientists and personnel experts to work with labor and management on intergroup relations. The entire program is concentrated on the construction of better human relations. Brotherhood Week is the beginning of a year-round program, for brotherhood is a skill which must be learned and practiced 365 days a year. Whether you are Catholic or Protestant, whether you are Jew or Christian, resolve today that you will learn the lesson and practice the skill of brotherhood.
Thank you, Dr. Caldwell. Our eternal light drama today, Gandhi, was written by Morton Wishengrad and adapted from the book Great Soul by Harriman Maurer, and was presented in observance of Brotherhood Week. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Mamorski. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Gandhi was Leon Janney, and Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.